You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Connor Riley, what is wrong with this dog offense? I mean, Stetson Bennett, and again, not putting any blame on one specific player. No touchdowns, but no picks. And then you go 2 weeks in a row where you didn't throw a touchdown pass? All right, what's going on in your opinion?
The big thing is they got to figure out a way to score in the red zone. They got to make it easier. They got to get touchdowns in the red zone. And, you know, it's been a persistent issue throughout the season now. And, you know, they figured some things out in the fourth quarter of that game against Missouri in terms of running the football. But I don't know how much of that is, you know, Georgia really turning things around, as Cedric Van Praan had told me after the game. As much as it is, Missouri was just worn out. And that's where Georgia's talent advantage really came into play there. On Georgia's second down plays in the red zone, the average distance they had to go against Missouri this past week was 12.25 yards. Wow. They have to find a way to get into better situations inside the red zone to turn those field goals into touchdowns. They didn't punt for the second straight week in the second half, but if you're going to keep leaving those 4 points off the board because you're kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, you're going to find yourself in a lot closer games. And as Georgia plays better teams over the course of the season, if they keep doing that, those differences are going to turn a win into a loss.
It's a great point. Yeah, I was just telling Carl, Connor, before you came on, that Podlesny leads the nation in scoring. That's kind of like us with like Young Wei Koo or Matt Bryant in the old days for the Falcons, which was the ultimate sign of red zone ineptitude. I watched the game twice. It's almost like you won out with depth, or you just wore Missouri down because your athletes stepped up. The red zone plays that you talked about, I mean, is Monken getting too cute with the play calling?
I think there's something to that there. I will note, you know, Kenny McIntosh was a little banged up in that last game. He only had one reception. That was a season low for him. He sounds like he's in a much better spot going into the Auburn game. You would expect him to be a bigger part of the offense there. When they absolutely needed a play to be made late in the fourth quarter when they were trailing on that last drive before they score a touchdown, they just do a little screen pass to Brock Bowers there, and he gets 12 yards and gets down to the 1 yard line. I was saying throughout the game, you know, when they don't have guys that can create separation downfield because there was no A.D. Mitchell, Arian Smith was limited in that game, and something, you know, they don't – Lyde McConkey has had two underwhelming games in a row. I think you need to double down more and get the ball to Brock Bowers. Darnell Washington still doesn't have a red zone touch this season. I would expect that to change this coming weekend, as you saw on multiple instances last week. He is just so big, and defenders bounce off of him, and if you're able to scheme up – a place where he can get 3-4 yards of separation, he might just bowl guys over into the end zone. And so I think, you know who your key playmakers are right now on this Georgia offense. It's Bowers, it's Washington, it's McIntosh. And I think when you get to the red zone, you got to just put the ball in their hands and trust that they're going to be able to make plays through the air and get in the end zone that way.
All right. I said to our audience that Auburn's, you know, talking noise. I don't think they're in position to be saying anything, but Brandon Council is one of their offensive linemen, and he's come out and basically said, and I'm going to quote him here because I don't want to get this wrong, all right? He says, if you start off fast, run the ball on them, he's talking about Georgia, and keep them off their third down packages, really, we could demolish them. I believe that personally up front. How do you fix these issues up front going up against Auburn this weekend?
Yeah, and with no Jalen Carter, it's certainly going to be a storyline to watch in terms of how Georgia goes about attacking with this front seven. Now, I will point out, even without Jalen Carter, I thought the front seven played pretty well, all things considered, going into that game against Missouri there. And there's still a good amount of talent there in that front seven. I think Jamon Dumas Johnson has continued to get better each and every week. Jamel Munden, I'm not sure if he's going to play this week because he's been dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury, but Nolan Smith is still one of the better players in the SEC. And look, when you're a 30-point underdog, I respect Council for believing this and saying this because as a competitor, you always believe you have a chance to win. I may not want to say that to this Georgia team, especially when you're an Auburn offense that in the last two second halves against Missouri and LSU, games where, you know, you jump out to double-digit leads early, Auburn has a combined total of 3 points in the second half and overtime of their last two games. Starting fast hasn't been the issue for Auburn. What Auburn needs to worry about is how they go about finishing games. And with this Georgia team having such a wide talent advantage, like we saw them have over Missouri last week, I think that's absolutely going to be a problem for them once again, this time taking on Georgia in Athens this Saturday, a place they have not won since current U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville was the head coach at Auburn all the way back in 2005.
Wow, good factoid. It is our man, Connor Riley. It's K. Connor Riley on Twitter. All the guys from Dog Nation giving us serious dog info. To me, and I don't know how you felt about this, and I'm not trying to be a homer for Georgia, but I just thought it was some really dirty pool. You know, I thought the hits on Jalen Carter were dirty. I didn't think Jalen needed to be in the Missouri practice area before the game either. But how big is this going to be to not have a potential number one pick out there?
Yeah, it's certainly something where, you know, this is where Georgia rotating, obviously, I think mitigates some of this loss of having him not be out there. And he only played 36 snaps in the previous four games for Georgia as he'd been dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury. So this team is accustomed to not having him out there. But as Georgia gets to November, because let's be frank, they should beat Auburn without him. They should beat Vanderbilt without him. But as you get into that stretch of Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Kentucky, you need Jalen Carter to be as close to 100% as he can be and be ready to go for that game. And so not having him for those games, I think, could make things very difficult for Georgia. As far as Missouri on Saturday, I do think he was maybe instigating a little bit. Now, he did have a punch thrown at him, so I can understand why you might be a little revved up in that situation and want to keep instigating, especially when you are a human being built like Jalen Carter is built. But, you know, the hit to his knee, dirty, I don't know. It clearly should have been flagged. Was it malicious? I'm not necessarily sure. I think that's just the way that Missouri is coached to play in terms of cutting in the backside. And I don't believe that is an inherently dirty play from an offensive line perspective. But when you get caught in the way that Missouri did on that play, it pretty clearly should have been flagged.
What's the latest on Javon Bullard?
He is expected to be back this week, and he is going to play, so it looks like it'll be a one-game suspension for Bullard after not making the trip to Missouri this past week.
Okay, a follow-up to that. The star position is what he plays. Who's been playing that, and how's the play been since he's been out?
Yeah, so Tyke Smith filled in for him last week while he was in Missouri, and it seems like he did pretty well in that spot start there. And, you know, we talked about last week the concern there was about not knowing what it was going to look like back there. Tyke Smith continues to get healthy and improve and play well, and you have Bullard with his head screwed on straight. You feel pretty good about what you have in this Georgia secondary. You know, Malachi Starks makes another amazing play last week, chasing down that Missouri running back from behind. Chris Smith is one of the best safeties in college football. Interestingly, coming out of that Missouri game, to me, the weak link sort of seemed like Keely Ringo. He did not have a very good game there, got beat on a 46-yard reception downfield in the second half of that game, had a very poor pass interference penalty on 3rd and 17 there where he just gets beat and then holds the guy. So I think when you have Keely Ringo, one of the more talented players in the country, obviously the hero in last year's national title game, as sort of the question mark coming out of a game in your secondary, you feel really good about what you have back there.
I did hear Kirby mention the wide receivers, and I know that it's obviously the tight ends are amazing, and the Darnell Washington where he runs over the Missouri players is fantastic. But is Kirby onto something? Do you still need to get the wide receivers involved more?
I absolutely think you do, and obviously I think they can throw the ball more to the tight ends. But when you get A.D. Mitchell back, who I expect to play this week, when you get Arian Smith more involved in this offense, their speed allows – it just changes so many things for this offense because it's going to pull those safeties farther back. And that's going to open up that intermediate area, along with the fact that you have Mitchell and Smith who are capable of making plays downfield, which should make things easier for the running game there. I think one of the things I watched in that Missouri game, Georgia's wide receivers really struggled to create separation in that game. And while, yes, Dominic Blaylock made some nice catches, Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint made those catches, those guys sort of thrive in tight window situations. And I think a big reason why Stetson Bennett had statistically his worst game of the season on Saturday is because so often he was just asked to make a lot of tight window throws. And odds are, yes, you can make some of those. But over time, especially when you throw 44 pass attempts, if all those are into tight window throws and you have to be super duper accurate to make those, you're just bound to have more incompletions, which is, I think, is a big reason why you saw what you saw out of this offense on Saturday.
All right, Connor, let me ask you this, because you brought up the point about separation. So if you're Tennessee or Kentucky or, you know, some of the teams that you're talking about you're going to see down the road here, aren't you going to take this philosophy? Because what you're saying is that Missouri said, hey, your guys don't scare us on the outside. And then they brought pressure. Is this a concern?
I think this is absolutely something to watch going forward. You know, play a lot of man against this team now. Does Missouri have the does Auburn or Kentucky have the athletes to do this? No. Tennessee has one of the worst pass defenses in the country this year. But looking down the road, if we can do that here a little bit, this is absolutely how Mississippi State's going to play you. They're going to be super physical, and they're going to bring pressure up the box. And this Georgia offensive line really struggled to handle that in this past game. Alabama's probably going to play the same way, and they probably have corners that they feel very comfortable playing man-to-man coverage with. So I think going forward, you know, that's where the wide receivers winning, I think, really helps clear things up. Because so often Bowers and Washington are attached to the line of scrimmage. But if you have an A.D. Mitchell who's making plays downfield, then you have to pull guys off a little bit, drop more guys into coverage. You've got Arian Smith taking the top off of defense there. Even a guy like Dominic Blaylock, you know, he had 3 catches for 42 yards on Saturday, but he only played 12 snaps. And I think he's a guy that if Georgia gets more involved in this offense, could open things up more. And so this wide receiver position, well, yes, Georgia absolutely has its tight ends, best in the country, and then probably could get them more involved than they have been in recent weeks. I think they need this wide receiver room, if not to make plays, to at least stretch the field and have the possibility of doing so. That way, this team isn't so predictable in terms of what they're going to be able to do.
Great stuff. I'm curious to see how they respond this week. You think they respond in a big way?
I'd like to think so, but I thought they were going to beat Missouri pretty easily. And, you know, 5 weeks into the season now, we don't really know what Georgia team we're going to get on a week-to-week basis. We didn't see them play well at home against Stanford and Kent State. Now, this is a rivalry game. I expect them to be charged up going into that game. I believe that even before Brandon Council made his comments that he made today. And so I think this is a Georgia team that, if this is a team that we think is capable of winning a national championship, which I still do, I'd expect them to go out there and roll Auburn on Saturday. But if it's another game like they saw and played against Missouri, I think you have to drastically reevaluate the expectations you have for this team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.